Thank you, and thanks to the organizers for inviting me. My talk is about geometry of the geometry behind rather an equal sum vector of type 2 theories. It turns out that the appropriate concepts have already been described, developed by mathematicians, in particular by Hitchin and collaborators. Since that such a relation should exist, had been already presented last year in the Paris conference by my collaborator Grania. In the intervening year, fortunately, there has been great progress. In particular, today I will be able to present equations which have a direct mathematical interpretation and also which have a clear connection to mirror symmetry. This is my pointer, which doesn't, my presenter, which doesn't work. Okay. This is my name. And these are the papers the talk is mainly based on. So, in particular, one earlier this year with the Paris group. I'll start with a brief introduction. The main idea is to use differential forms to describe gravity, more specifically to use pairs, each of the elements of the pair being a formal sum of differential forms of different degrees. As an example, we can consider in 6 dimensions the concept of a C3 structure, which is made up by a real two-form day, which by itself would define an ST6, R structure, and a complex three-form omega, which by itself would describe an almost complex structure, also known as a GL3, C structure. Together, if a certain compatibility condition is met, they define actually what is called an ST3 structure. And in this case, the two files are as follows. One of them is simply the complex three-form itself, but the other is not the real two-form itself, rather it's, as anticipated, a formal sum of differential forms of different degrees. So it has one, J, J with J, and the volume form part. We'll see this in more detail. We'll actually see also more general pairs, but already for this example, let me actually stress a point which would be important to bear in mind. The mere existence of an ST3 structure on a manifold only imposes a topological constraint, which looks like this. If you want, ST3 structure is what remains of ST3 holonomy once you start switching fluxes. If you assume that the two files are actually also closed, then it follows that the manifold is Calabi-Yau. But we'll not do this. We'll not assume in general that the files are closed. And in fact, this is the whole point. Calabi-Yau manifolds, internal Calabi-Yau manifolds yield n equals 2 preserved supersymmetry in 4 dimensions. We'll see actually more generally that these are the conditions to be satisfied for n equals 2. And our aim in this talk is to show that for Ramon-Ramon fields different from zero, n equals 1 is equivalent to equations which look like this. So in particular, non-closure will be T. The equations have a clear mathematical interpretation. This is one of the main points in terms of this new geometry, which is called generalized complex geometry. Also, we'll see there is a physical consequence, a first physical consequence, which is that there is a topological model associated to each of the n equals 1 vector. If you want, this has an interpretation as saying that half a structure has an independent meaning already. Each of the files defines its own dynamics. We'll also see that there is a natural neural map exchanging the two theories and the files at the same time, which will lead us to consideration of neural symmetry beyond the usual Calabi-Yau case. Here's a plan for what follows. So first, a general classification of type 2 n equals some ratio. Then it's a mathematical interpretation, so it's not the first classification for the sake of it. And last, we consider mirror symmetry with the first part which will be more solid and the last part which will be more speculative. Let's start with this classification with the, which is based on my paper earlier this year in the Tarek group. And let's start by remarking that in the internal manifolds there are two internal spin-offs which are well defined. This is due to applying the 4 plus 6 split to the supersymmetry variations parameter in 10 dimensions, and this sign is simply whether we are in 2A or 2B. And now, given the two spin-offs, we can form the tensor product. This is a bispinor, it has two free spinor indices, and hence we can expand it in a certain basis, which is the basis of anti-symmetric products of gamma matrices, which also have two free spinor indices. Of course, in other words, what I just said can be expressed by saying that we can express this tensor product as a sum of slashes of differential forms, not necessarily of the same degree. This is called filter map or filtering, if you like. It may look a bit abstract, so let's consider an example. We can first have the two spin-offs to be parallel everywhere on the manifold, so up to rescaling, they are essentially the same spin-off. And in this case, if you consider filtering of the spin-off with its transpose, you get a slash of a complex tree form. If you consider the tensor product with its dagger, from other side, you don't get something of definite degree. You get a sum of zero form part, two form part, a form four part, and a volume form part. If you will remember, this case is called the SU3, but it is by no means the only case. As another example, we can consider the case in which the spin-offs are everywhere orthogonal. In which case the filtering looks like this, which is a bit more complicated, but here's the idea and to work. There is a split of the 6 internal dimensions in 4 and 2. This split is pointwise, doesn't mean that there is a 4-dimensional submanifold or a 2-dimensional submanifold. This situation is described by saying that there are 2 non-integrable in general distributions. This case is called static SU2. It also imposes another topological constraint on the internal manifold. Hence, it can't be either the most general case. Rather, the most general case will be when the angle between the two spin-offs will be allowed to vary over the internal manifold. This case will be actually the generic case. So it will play an important role in the specification. Let me also remind you that the Ramon-Ramon fields also make up by spin-offs, and this is how the Ramon-Ramon fields come up in string theory, but also in supergravity. Here is the natural definition that they have, and more importantly, they also appear in this form as a by spin-off in the supersymmetry variations, at least in the so-called democratic formulation of supergravity. I can now present to you our results. So, imposing that these variations, and as well as the variations of the Di Latino set to zero, imposing n equals 1, is the same as in 2A, as is equivalent to the following two equations. So we have a first phi which is closed under this operator, D plus H wedge. Notice, incidentally, it's the same as the one used to define the Ramon-Ramon bastino. The other is not closed, rather it has a right-hand side, which is the Ramon-Ramon bastino. Again, I call it bastino, but here is just a sum of differential forms, plus I star of itself. These functions are not terribly important, they are some normalizations. In 2B, The equations are, this is remarkable, the equations are exactly the same, but for an exchange of the role of phi plus and phi minus, and here by plus and minus I just, according to what we saw in the previous slide, I just mean whether it contains even forms only or odd forms only. So we will see shortly the mathematical interpretation of this equation. So C3 in particular, all 2A vacua are symplectic manifolds and all 2B vacua are complex. Bear in mind that this is not, C3 is not at all the generic case, but this fact, this observation, made us think already last year that there must be a correspondence with this generalized complex geometry. Why? Because these two cases are exactly the cases on which a generalized complex geometry is modeled. However, the equations presented last year, first of all, they were only valid for SC3, as I just said, but also, although suggestive, that did not have a clear mathematical interpretation. The key difference is being that here we did not have H acting in, as it is natural. As we will see, it's very crucial for the mathematical interpretation with a wedge. And also, the right hand side was not working exactly as it should for mirror symmetry. The way we have achieved this improved equations is by actually paying a little price, which is excluding one case, the one case in which there are no Ramon-Ramon fluxes, only Neuer-Schwarz flux. And this case is very well known. It has been studied 20 years ago, almost by Hall and Strominger. It also has a peculiar interpretation in terms of this generalized complex geometry. But I won't describe it today. This has a particular study by itself. The reason for this exclusion is that for S equals 0, the equations actually end up describing n equals 2, so not n equals 1. Also, I haven't shown to you here that, how the cosmological constant would influence the equations. We have worked it out. Introduces a right-hand side in each of these four equations in terms of the other five. It is now time for a short review of the geometrical part that we will need to interpret the equations, and then we'll get back to the interpretation of the equations. The main concept here is to use the direct sum of the tangent and cotangent bundles rather than the tangent itself. And one reason why this is a good idea is that on T plus T star you have already a natural pairing between a vector and the one form. So there is no need to introduce a metric at this stage. At algebraic level, so this slide is purely topological, it's natural to introduce rather than for T an SC3 structure, what is called an SC3 comma 3 structure. Why? Because this internal product, when you write it as a metric, is indefinite. Now, you will remember we have already seen that a formal sum of differential forms of different degrees is the same as a bikino or by some sleight of hand. We can also consider it as a spino for the Clifford algebra of T plus T star. The gamma matrices for this Clifford algebra being simply contractions with vectors and wedges with one form, hence 12. Consider now an ordinary spino. In six dimensions, an ordinary spino is always pure, meaning its annihilator is of maximal dimension, 3. Once again, there are always 3 gamma matrices in six dimensions out of 6 that annihilate any spino. A phi, which is a tensor product of 2 etas, is also pure, meaning this time that 6 out of these 12 gamma matrices annihilated. And in terms of the bikino picture, this roughly speaking is because you can see 3 gamma matrices on the left and 3 gamma matrices on the right annihilating it. Anyway, this pi, which from now on we call a piostino, defines what is called an SC3 comma 3 structure, exactly what I predicted. And what if we have 2? If a certain compatibility condition is met, then together they define an SC3 times SC3 structure. Here's a picture, it resembles what we saw in the the introduction each of the files defining an SC3 comma 3, and together they define an SC3 times SC3 structure. This SC3 times SC3 in the special case of SC3 structure on T is simply one on living on T and the other on T star, but in general it won't be like this. This SC3 times SC3 will be a Q oblique in T plus T star. Once we have this structure, it determines finally at this stage a metric and actually also a B-field. It depends a level, the real fun star. What we want to introduce is a kind of integrability analogous to what we have on T, namely a kind of Nernst-Hausch tensor for T plus T star. And we remind you that this tensor is the following. Acting on two vectors, you take the projection of these two vectors on their 1-0 part, then you take the Lie bracket, the result is again a vector, and now you want to check if this vector is 1-0 itself, or rather if it has a 0-1 part. So the tensor measures whether 1-0 vectors are closed under the Lie bracket. On T plus T star, now if you want to define something analog, we need first of all a bracket, and it turns out that there is a bracket which has just enough of the good properties of the Lie bracket, although not all of them, for our purposes. This is its definition, it looks complicated, but let's see. The two entries are simply elements of T plus T star, so vectors acting as a contraction, or one form acting as wedges. And when I say acting, acting on what? Acting on differential forms. So as we view them as operators on differential forms. And once I say operator, this circle becomes clear, it's just a composition of operators. This still looks a bit after, so let's make an example. Consider two A's which annihilate a certain sum of differential forms. For now on, I will call it differential form. And let's compute its Courant bracket by evaluating it on pi. You will see that all these terms actually go away, and all which remains is this term. Now, it follows that if we set it to zero, then the annihilator of pi is closed under this Courant bracket. Why? Because you have the two A's annihilated pi, so they were in the annihilator, and now the Courant bracket is also in the annihilator, because by hypothesis this d5 is set to zero. This provides us with a generalization of integrability, of what we saw for integrability on T. H is also easy to include in this game from a general theory of brackets. It follows that the good properties that we need of this Courant bracket can be preserved if we replace D by just any differential. And it turns out that the only way to combine H and D to make a differential is this, D plus H wedge, which does square to zero. Now, it's time to come back at physics and give the interpretations of, which I promised, of the equation. The first equation is actually easy. There is one of the two pure spinors, pi, which is closed under what we now know to be a differential. Hence, the annihilator of pi 1 is closed under this now twisted by H Courant bracket. This is some analog that we have seen of integrability. In this case, mathematicians call the internal manifold the twisted generalized Calabi-Yau. What about the second equation? We saw that the right-hand side is essentially F, actually F plus vector F, but this right-hand side, which are the Ramon-Ramon fields, now has interpretation as the Nernst-Hausch tensor of psi 2. Let me stress that this result is valid for SC3, SC2, and the intermediate cases. SC2 so far was considered a bit clumsy, because SC2 group structure in system anchors is not terribly powerful. Not to speak of the intermediate cases, which were considered to be confusing, where they are in fact generic. One consequence of this classification is also that there is always a topological model associated to this vector. And the reason for this is that if you look for the RC differential, times a q which squares to zero, and also if you want to annihilate to cancel this anomaly, the anomaly of the model, you will see that the condition to be satisfied is that there is that there be a Pierce-Pino which is closed. What is this Pierce-Pino for the ordinary A and B model? For the A model is e to the ij, for the B model is just omega. This was anticipated, I think, in 2003 by Kapustin, and last year made more precise in the BV formalism by Tuscini, later by Zabdin, adapting formalism constructed by Instrom, Minassi, and Zabdin and myself earlier. I understand this also has connections to other, let's say, target space approaches to topological theories, but I won't indulge in name dropping here. Then we had go to the F equals zero case, which maybe was a bit confusing before. In this case, there are two files whose annihilators are closed under the Courant bracket, and in this case, mathematicians say that there is a twisted generalized Calabi-Yau metric to distinguish from the case above. Also, an alternative feature is to interpret this as a 2,2 models, and this supersymmetry on the worksheet corresponds to this supersymmetry on the target space. Also, let me show you, we can gain some intuition about the difference between this case and the others by saying that in this case, for SC3, we only have Calabi-Yau and H equals zero. For SC2, or more generally, we can have H different from zero, and we can discuss the Roche theory using formalism by Gates, Hall, and Roche. Let me now comment on the final feature, which I haven't commented about, of the equation, so which is mirror symmetry. Let me first point out that since generalized complex geometry was modeled, as I said, on symplectic geometry and complex geometry, and these are exchanged by mirror symmetry. Mirror symmetry was, in a way, one of the main inspirations of the definition of generalized complex geometry in the first place. In the present context, here's the map, precisely the map which exchanges the equation for the two theories. Very precisely, it works also with cosmological constant. You may ask me, how is this realized, actually, concretely? We have learned for Calabi-Yau that mirror symmetry is just pretty duality, so in the following slide I will consider manifolds which are T3 fibered over a base, and I will consider pretty dualities. So the reason this is I think you're not, my counter started.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So the reason this has a chance of working here is that T plus T star extends itself by T duality. Here is a concrete example. If you take one of these funny exponentials, Pierce-Pinos that you have seen before, and if you perform a T duality along this direction, you will see, I won't review the rule, the rule becomes just similar to what you have for Ramon-Ramon fields. You get into this, which is another Pierce-Pinos, and now you understand the trick. If you also perform it along 3 and 5, you get something like this, another Pierce-Pino. An exchange of this type is featured also for, in the context of brains on Calabi-Yau. The general rule is not that simple. It resembles the Hori formula for mirror symmetry on Ramon-Ramon fluxes. And here I will show it in another way. And with this, I think I will conclude. There are two PSP nodes, remember, and consider D plus H wedge on the two PSP nodes. Well, now I want to expand the result in a certain basis, which is, you might think of the Hodge diamond. The right thing to consider is what is called, what I call actually, a pure Hodge diamond. It is something which has two PSP nodes and the conjugates in the four corners. The others can be written in terms of the phi. And now if you consider D on phi minus, you will have coefficients on these four, on this, sorry, on these two columns, and D of phi plus will have coefficients on these two rows. Now, take these coefficients, here is one concrete expression on the coefficients, and perform these three dualities now. And then what you get is that the action on this quantity is just a rotation of this diamond. So you get a very concrete realization that of the idea that neurosymmetry is a rotation of the Hodge diamond, except that you have to consider the right Hodge diamond. If you were to use a naive rule, this wouldn't work. Quantities such as these are called intrinsic torsions, and are usually called to classify the differential type of a manifold. What you have defined here is mirror covariant version of the intrinsic torsions. Now, I don't know the easy way to skip other than doing this. I misunderstood the timings. So this would have been on the conjectural part on extension of these two non-T3 fibered cases and action on topology. My conclusions. N equals one vector are all generalized Calabi manifolds. Ramon fields have an interpretation as a generalized Nyland tensor, and mirror symmetry can be understood as an exchange of two PSP nodes on the manifold. Thank you.
Any questions?
Thank you. I'm afraid I don't understand something very basic. What is the beginning when you're phi 1 and phi 2?
Yes?
Which takes minus by d times h.
For one of them, the Ramon fields appeared, and for the other, they didn't. So that seemed to spoil the symmetry between phi 1 and phi 2.
Oh,
I'm sure you explained it, but maybe.
So okay. So the symmetry I mean is the following. The two, so in one of the theories there is a F right hand side, in the other of the theories also there is an F right hand side, so the exchange is by exchanging the two phi and also exchanging the theory. So the one which is non-closed is phi minus in one case and phi plus in the other case, and the right hand side looks exactly the same.
Okay.
So this is what I mean by symmetry. After all, it's supposed to be a mirror symmetry.
All right, thank you.
Other questions?
Come on. You're very kind.
The question was, could you please finish the talk?
Okay, no, I won't finish the talk. We simply say the following. So, in a paper earlier this year, I defined what is the action. So the analysis of that slide was local over the base manifold. So you might have wondered what happens if I can extend that analysis to a global analysis. And it turns out that you can include singular fibers. This is a bit technical, but it can be done. And you can define the topological mirror meaning the topology of the mirror of a Calabiau with H. This is not a Calabiau in general. And okay, the reason I was doing this is that where this exchange of so here, as I said, this works very well formally, and it isn't obvious from the beginning in supergravity, and it suggests that there is some kind of mirror symmetry, which is general for all n equals vector. However, there is no reason in general why this why all n equals some vector should be T3-5, but the initial XYZ argument doesn't obviously work, or at least I haven't been able to reproduce it. I can explain in more detail why. So there are two possibilities. Either there is a more general argument for n equals one vector actually to be also T3-5, or the possibility which I prefer, that there can be that the mirror symmetry phenomenon is actually more general. After all, we learned only after several years that the mirror symmetry for Calabiau is a T3, ideality along a T3 fiber. And I was proposing, actually mathematicians have considered this already in some detail. They have proposed symplectic non-Taylor manifolds, which would be mirror to complex non-Taylor manifolds.
More. Let's think it again.